Welcome everybody to the best podcast in the world. This is the Strength and Skills Podcast. My name is Nick Tibusek, and with me there is the only boss in the house, Rado Bosic. Good morning, Rado.
Good morning. Excuse me, mister, but it's Don. We changed the nickname to Don Bosic. So
Don, I'm so sorry for that. That was my misconception here. It's Don Rado Bosic.
Yeah, I prepped the mustache just for the podcast, so yeah.
I'm so sorry that I didn't realize that. What a shame for me.
It's okay.
All right. Today it's all about the chest that is not so swollen anymore. But with me now that I just made that big mistake. now I'm leading into the big topic of today. We're gonna talk about what actually is to do to build a big, massive, pumped up chest with calisthenics.
Yeah. Whoo! I find it hard sometimes to talk about that topic because it's like probably my weakest body part. But I've managed to kind of build it up with the approach that we're going to talk about today, luckily. So there is a way to, you know, go around quote unquote bad genetics and actually build some meat in that region.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
and that's super interesting because you lacked on that area as most calisthenics people do. And that's super interesting because we have a lot of calisthenics people who are actually lacking a body part, which most people are actually doing the most. I mean, everybody is doing push-ups and dips all the time. So why do we lack chest so much? And I would say it comes a little bit from the parts that we actually have to we already talked about it, like I think like two episodes before. So the classic principles of how to actually build muscle, how is hypertrophy done? And for that, just go back to that episode, listen to it, and you will understand a little bit more of the principles if you didn't listen to it yet. That's really, really an important one. But what was the most important part for you was actually getting the chest involved into your exercises, because you were like a lot of people who did all the push-ups, all the dips and all that stuff, but didn't get the chest in it because of what?
Exactly. So I've had all of these principles, you know, I've tackled that with my programming. So I've had the intensity, I've had the volume, I've had both the mechanical stress as well as the metabolic stress. And I thought, okay, this is probably going to be sufficient for me to build something there. But it's more than anything, it's the execution of the motion. You know, it's just this, it's something that we talked about in that episode at the end with bodyweight movements, just this freedom of motion and execution and how many things you can actually change in a motion in order to have a different outcome.
Yeah.
And with me, like, it was always more natural to press with the arm rather through the chest. And because I didn't know how to make that readjustment and change my technique to a more chest-focused dip, even though I had those principles on point, I just wasn't able to build that. You know, so it's definitely the technique and the execution of the motion, which is a difficult part with bodyweight movements to master. That's probably playing a really, really big role, just as the principles that we talked about are doing so too.
Absolutely. So for us, it's very important now to make that point very, very clear. If you don't manage to master the technique in the exercise that you are doing, we can do all, we can apply everything to you, but it won't work as well as it should be. So that's a very, very important one. So make sure to have the technique at that point really on point. And if you need help with that, you're free to contact us. That's another thing that you can always do. Feel free to contact us on Strength and Skills and just hit us up and we are able to help you with that. So let's go back to what we actually need now for exercise selection to build up the chest. So right now we got to talk about, yes, we know we have to bring in some mechanical stress. In my opinion, this is something I already said before, when before we recorded this episode, mechanical stress is pretty hard to bring on the chest in calisthenics. Once you went to an advanced point in your training journey, because you have pretty much just the dip that can bring in the mechanical stress here, when it's more about calisthenics and weighted calisthenics, maybe also. I would incorporate that always, because there are pretty much not so many exercises that you can load up well. Of course, I think you did it, I did it, everybody did it. Loading up a push-up is a good way to do it, but there's no very good way to load up a push-up, because you just have to put up plates on your back, and it's hard to do that alone. And especially when it comes to more weight, I mean, when the point comes when you use more than 50 kg, it's getting hard to manage that on your back alone. You would always need a second person for that. So
yeah, I mean, and also, like, if you go into options like putting a weight belt on a push-up, once loads get heavier, it can be really hard to maintain proper positioning, especially in the pelvic region. Mm-hmm. And quite often you see people just overarching and overextending in the lumbar, which, I mean, isn't bad in and of itself, but it just completely changes the movement pattern of the push-up. And because of that extension, you're probably going to be having a harder time targeting the chest. Yeah. And the same goes, for example, like with a weight vest. I mean, the weight vest is a good option, sure. But once you get up to like higher loads, it becomes so limiting and restricting in the way you move your scapula. Mm-hmm. And then also the problem of not having a heavy enough weight vest for the strength to, you know, compensate for it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Those three options are kind of, you can see how limiting they are to the push-up, whereas in the dip, that isn't really the case that much.
Yeah, because a dip is pretty much something that you can load up very endless. So I think the heaviest dip done that I know of is at 195 kg right now, and there's only one person who did it, and the general population is far away from that. I mean, most people are somewhere in between 10 to 50 kg of dips. Then there come in the competition athletes who are, it's pretty common to have somewhere in the area around 20 down of 100 kg. That's pretty common. And so there's plenty of space to come up for good stuff. So so for the mechanical stress, I would usually recommend a dip for that. The thing with that is we have to think of the chest as something. We have lower parts and upper parts of the chest in the end. Of course, there will always be people who tell you, yeah, and you have the outer side of the chest and the inner part of the chest, and actually, of course, you may feel something a little bit more there, a little bit less there, but that's not coming from there is a different parts of exercises. That's a little bit more coming from what are you actually doing with exercise selection. Very important here is to say there's a difference in being the punctum mobile and punctum fixum. In exercise selection, which can make you feel feeling stuff a little bit more on the inside and a little bit more on the outer side. That's a completely different topic for a lot of exercises. It's a super interesting topic. There is some science behind that, but it's a topic that is not completely like already really that we have a lot of data for that. There's some data and it's super interesting data, but it's not so much. But we're gonna bring up another episode talking about that stuff, because I like that. I find it super interesting.
Yeah, super interesting. Yeah.
But for us, it's right now it's a little bit more going with the actual parts of the muscle, which are there, you know, and this is upper and lower pretty much. Going into that, most exercise that we are doing is a little bit more lower chest. So also the dip is a little bit more lower chest, push-ups a little bit more lower chest. All the horizontal exercises are pretty much a little bit more of lower chest. And for that, we really have to shouldn't forget about that when we do work for a very, very big chest. So bringing in all the dips and ring push-ups and all the other stuff shouldn't let us forget how much more stuff we can bring in there. But we're going to come to that later on. When we have all the mechanical stuff, what would you do for metabolic stress for the muscle?
Yeah, for metabolic stress, you obviously want to kind of go lower in intensities and higher in repetitions. And for that, like something like a chest fly tends to be a really good solution, especially because it's easy to like handle like body weight and you can scale it down for like with something like rings. And because it's like often thought of as an isolation exercise, it's actually like almost a perfect match for this metabolic stress. And I mean, you wouldn't come up with the idea of maxing out in a chest fly, that's for sure. So that's why we don't think of it as a mechanical tension exercise.
Yeah.
So for me, something like a chest fly, I would put it like almost at the end of the workout, just so we also tackle that point of metabolic stress off during it.
Super, super interesting. And what is also super interesting about it is in the chest flies, you have a little bit more stretch usually. Because it depends a little bit. You can go there. And that's the interesting part. You usually when you're doing the chest flies, you do them on the rings as the calisthenics guys do it on the rings. And what is super interesting here is when you have a different angle, you can use more stretch because it's not so hard in mechanical wise. But when you change the angle, the exercise is getting ridiculous hard, especially when you're really close to the floor. And at that point, you usually don't use too much stretch. That's an exercise you can do in both ways. And that's super interesting. That this is actually why I like it, because it's exactly the same exercise, performed differently, and you're having different results on it. And both makes absolutely sense. So that's a super interesting one. Having that stuff, how do you think of different push-up variations for the chest?
Yeah, push-up variations. I mean, just as we talked about it, like probably also don't go into the mechanical tension region with the push-up and have it rather be more geared towards metabolic stress. And you can use kind of different push-up variations to depending on what feels best for you. For example, that's also an important aspect, I would say. Like just what is the sensation that you're getting out of the push-up. Is a really important thing when it comes to exercise selection. But we can look at stuff like wide push-ups and how that compares to a diamond push-up when it comes to the grip.
Yeah.
But for me, like for example, the ring push-up tends to be the best variation when it comes to targeting the chest.
Yeah.
Because what you can do with it is you can alter the grip width and in the bottom have this nice and wide grip, which introduces the stretch that we had in the chest fly, for example. And at the top, we can really force the internal rotation and bring the rings together, which is this adduction function of the chest. And thus you train the chest for its several functions all in one, you know?
Absolutely agree. And I love that.
But, you know, like with the push-up on the floor, with a wide push-up on the floor, sure, you have a nice stretch in the bottom. But once you lock out at the top, what happens with the chest, it's almost like becomes passive in that state.
Yeah.
Because there's no work there. It doesn't have to adduct, just as in the ring push-up. And with the diamond push-ups, you have this nice ad action at the top, but in the bottom, it's predominantly triceps because of this extreme elbow flexion that you have. So it's kind of limiting with the normal push-up variations and how much you can target the chest.
So what would be a good combination would be a wide push-up combination with some diamond push-ups to have both in there, which would be a very, very interesting combination. And for those who want to have it in one exercise, the ring push-ups, like you already explained, would be the best version for it. So I absolutely agree on that. The only problem that we're going to have with the ring push-ups, to progress here, it's pretty hard. And that's going to be in the end, a little bit of a problem, because when you look at it, how do you load up the ring push-ups? I mean, yes, you can also bring up some weight on the back, but then is the problem here is, and you have the same thing with the ring dips. It's absolutely okay to do them. You can load them up, you can do them weighted, but you will come to the point where you have to stabilize so much with the shoulder girdle and all the rotator cuff stuff that these are the limiting factors for your actual pressing movement, and it's not the chest anymore. So there will come the point where the chest is not the one that is actually the limiting factor. And we want it to be the limiting factor because we want it to grow at that point. I mean, you can use that for different goals, but at this case, where we want to grow as a big chest as possible, it's not the best in long-term selection. And that's very important to say, because I'm still doing my ring push-ups and Rado is doing them still, but we know that we'll come to the point where we are just too strong for it. And that's a super interesting part of it. So I would say it also depends a little bit on where you place them in the workout.
Yeah.
Because that's something where you can bring in the art of programming. when you just kill yourself on the dips, have some very hard push-up variations maybe in there, and I don't know, yeah, let it be that we have like 3 to 4 exercises of the chest on that given day. We already did also maybe some, I don't know, we did some wide push-ups, we did some diamond push-ups, and then we bring in the ring push-ups. That could be a good option. But on the other hand, probably shoulder girdle will be pretty tired at that point already, because it's not like the other exercises are not fatiguing. So it depends very much on the individual at that point. It's not like we can say, okay, that's the best solution for everyone. But now that you know, you know. Exactly. That's super, super important at that point. So you already mentioned that elbow position is extremely important also for a wide and a narrow grip, and how do we bring in the chest at that point? Because yes, I know that myth, I remember that people are talking about, yeah, the diamond push-up brings in a little bit more of the inner chest, and the wide push-up brings in a little bit more of the outer chest. And I was always like, well, how does that work? And when I went into the anatomics of that, that makes absolutely no sense. The only reason why you feel it is in a wider push-up, you actually just have more stretch there. And where do you probably going to feel the stretch? Yeah, of course, where the arm is moving. Yeah, and we have to consider that the chest starts pretty much in the middle. Yeah, the chest muscle, the pectoralis, is starting in the middle and going over to the shoulder and is attached to your arm. And of course, when you bring the arm backwards, guess where the stretch happens? On the outer side of your pectoralis at that point. And of course, you feel it there a little bit more, especially on the day after.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
And would you say then for the diamond push-up, it's just this extreme shortened position that only gives the sensation of actually the muscle being worked?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think so, because you just have a little bit more of peak contraction at that point.
Yeah.
And this is where I went in the beginning with this exercise selection and all that stuff. It can make a difference, but usually it's not like that. It's just so big difference. So what is very important to me is to make people understand elbow position does matter. Elbow position does matter a lot when it comes to chest work. And this is what you already mentioned. How to actually perform the exercises was extremely important to you. Once you learned it, you felt your chest. And once you learned it to feel your chest, the chest got to the point where it started growing. And I think we have to bring that a little bit in there to bring in the role of the internal rotation when it comes to chest movements. And what I see a lot with people is this classic, when you have these horizontal movements, and people, I mean, especially in a dip, you have that all the time. People are doing dips. And when you look at it from the front, and you can see that by filming yourself, you are coming down and your elbows are closer to your body than your wrists, which are on the parallel bars or on the floor when you do push-ups or wherever, and they are closer to the body. This is actually when you start, whatever grip you have, your chest is not as involved as it should be at that point, because you're not having so much internal rotation. And the internal rotation means the elbows are out, pretty much, for those who are listening. I'm doing that on the video right here for YouTube. Do the chicken wing to have a big chicken breast.
That's a new one.
I think it's super important to have that in mind. I'm not talking about a 90-degree angle. I'm pretty much, let it be somewhere in a 45 to 60 degree angle of the elbow to the body. In that range, you're usually bringing in the chest pretty good. Everything overall, yeah, I mean, somewhere in the 90 degree region is probably a little bit of too much of that. And then your external rotators will have problems by stabilizing you in that motion. And then you just get into trouble with some shoulder injury stuff. So usually the problem here is, why do people come into these positions that they keep the elbows so close to the body, is most of the time having like the body trying to protect them from getting injured. Because the external rotators are not able to having them in a stabilized position when they are so internally rotated. Got me at that point?
Yeah.
And I've seen that with myself very, very long time. I didn't know about it. So I was actually someone who was always dipping like that. And I was always wondering, why is my chest not growing? And then I realized, yeah, because you just don't have any internal rotation. And okay, for a lot of people, that's actually the case. And in the beginning, it's brutally hard to change that. And it very often goes hand in hand with a very big problem of stabilizing your scapula in that point, in that position, because you're just not used to it, you know? And then you get into the elevation stuff with the scapula and all that, and you just don't want that. Because once you get into elevation, you are using less of the chest muscles usually in the pressing movements. And you just don't want that. Because you need to keep the scapula in a depression, and then we go into the right motion here. And something that we already... Now, we didn't mention it at all, but I think something that is also very, very important Now that we have all the internal rotation stuff done here, we should talk about the role of the up chest and how do we actually get that in. What do you think about it?
Yeah, for the upper chest, I think it's probably the region that is mostly lacking in calisthenics athletes, because they're simply not, we don't often move in those planes. You know, if you want to target the upper chest, you probably want to be into a bit more flexion of the shoulder, and then in that region you want to press not completely overhead, but somewhere in between that horizontal plane on the and the overhead plane. And when you look at calisthenics motions, it's simply not present all that much, and you have people, and I see it myself, you know, like rest of the chest is relatively good developed, but I just have this almost like big hole in my upper chest because simply it wasn't tackled with everything that I did through calisthenics. And like, what are the closest variations that are like an option for you to maybe target, maybe try and target the upper chest, are overhead pressing variations like the pike push-up and Hansen push-up progressions and the Hansen push-up itself. Because when you look at the motion itself, you have this angle during the motion for a tiny bit. You know, it's not fully present throughout it. But when you look at the, for example, the bottom position of a pike push-up or a Hansen push-up, it's relatively close to an inclined bench press, but it's more like a more inclined overhead press, you know, so an overhead press with a slight lean, not completely vertical. So those two like could be an option that we can use and implement if we see, okay, the upper chest is lacking and I don't want to use free weights at any cost. I just want to focus on body weight. Then implementing pike push-ups and Hansen push-ups is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. Would you say there's a difference here on how you actually perform them?
I would definitely go like with more lean, you know, not trying to be as vertical as possible, almost like going into this decline push-up motion, something similar to that, you know, because if you have a too vertical of a position, it's probably going to be more shoulders rather than anything else. So having more lean is definitely going to force the shoulder, not the shoulder, the chest to work more, especially through that upper region. And it's going to be kind of assisting the rest of the body during the motion.
Absolutely. All right. So what would be the better option for that? And this is something people, I don't know. Yeah, for me, it was always clear, but.
Yeah, like just go with free weights, you know, implement some free weights, go to an incline bench and do some incline bench pressing.
Yeah.
Be it dumbbells, barbells, whatever, you're probably going to target the upper chest better in that way than through some calisthenics motions. It's simply like that, you know, because that angle, that 45 degree angle, it's really specific to how the muscle fibers go.
Yeah.
And thus you can target it better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely get that. So, I mean, everybody is so much about, I don't know, making fun of machines and all that stuff, but especially for stuff like that, it's a very easy and very good way to use them to just target these muscle fibers to just build a little bit bigger chest. And of course, everybody's like, the bad machines, that's not natural and blah, blah, blah. But in the end, when you look at it, it's just that one exercise. And you're still doing all the other stuff.
But it's so funny when people say machines are not natural, when in fact the machine is actually built for the natural motion of the muscle. And for that specific motion and function of the muscle.
But for those people who are a little bit restricted in their equipment and all that stuff, and let's talk about the people who are actually training in pretty free gyms and maybe in a home gym, stuff like that. I mean, when you're in a classic gym, just go in there, use the incline bench press machine and bring that into your training. But for those who are actually training in a circumstance which are maybe not the best for that, there is a very good idea of using dumbbells for that, actually. I'm a very big fan of that, because you are stabilizing something. You have to stabilize a lot. You are very free in your movement here with like two dumbbells here. That's something I really like about it. The only thing with that is when you want to load up the stuff a little bit more on a mechanical side, it's a little restricted. So for that, I would go a little bit more with a barbell. Depends a little bit on where you are in your training and where you want to go and all that stuff. So maybe you just have a phase where you just focus on upper chest a little bit more because you just want to bring up the upper chest because it lacks so much. And you just want to go for that for the next half of a year and really focus on that. And I would actually bring in some barbell incline presses, and maybe later in the week, another day, bringing in some incline dumbbell bench press, so that you have both of it and have the stretch and all the free motion and the mechanical stress on it. Both makes absolutely sense for that. And of course, when you have the possibility to use the machines, but the incline pressing movements are something that makes most sense for hypertrophy at that point. It's crucial because that's the point where we lack the most. Because the lower parts of the chest, we always train them all the time. But the upper part is actually the stuff that lacks the most. And it looks so much better when you're dressed.
Yeah. You just don't have this hole in your shirt. Everything is filled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about hypertrophy, we talk about the looks. This is aesthetics at that point. This is not performance. I mean, we had loads of episodes talking about how to increase the performance. Right now, we are about all the aesthetics.
Out there for our gym bros, calisthenics bros. We got you.
Bodybuilding in the building. All right. Do you have any more stuff that we just have to bring in here?
Not really. I think we tackled quite a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one suggestion, we can like try and summarize everything and build the perfect chest workout, like quote unquote routine, just a pattern of a workout, what it might look like. Just so kind of viewers get an idea how everything altogether will look and could look.
Absolutely.
How would you start off with a chest workout?
Depends a little bit on where I want to go with that. So it like I already said, if you're lacking upper chest a little bit more and it's a big problem and you really want to tackle that, I would just put that in front. So starting off with some incline pressing, which for me personally, I would actually do that with a barbell, adding up some dips afterwards. And for that, not the upright, so a little bit more lean to bring in more chest on the dip. So we have like two exercises which are having a little bit more of mechanical stress on my chest. Now I would need some stuff to maybe bring in some volume, some metabolic stress, which would be amazing to do so with maybe some ring work, like ring push-ups, like you already mentioned. And afterwards, I would maybe bring in some ring flies, which would give me some possibility of having more stretch in there. And I would do that in not such an extreme angle, being very close to the floor. I would load up the stretch more upright, I would say. And maybe when I'm not completely done after that, I would incorporate maybe some push-up work at that point.
Yeah.
Just classic push-ups on the floor. Or maybe even parallels if you feel better with that. But that would be, to me, one of the best options. to bring that in, or what it would be another option to bring in the end, maybe some more of the incline bench pressing on the dumbbells with a higher rep range, could also be a very good possibility when it's all about hypertrophy for the chest.
I completely agree. And I would like use the same exercises in the exact same order. You have all of the planes, you know, you tackle all of the three chest parts. You have both the mechanical stress and metabolic stress. So everything is tackled within that one. So wouldn't change a thing there.
That's it. So I think we have it done there now. All right. Of course, when you have some machines and all that stuff, some cable towers and stuff like that, you have just plenty of more possibilities of adding in some even more angles. But as we are talking a little bit more about calisthenics and some hybrid stuff, this is pretty much the best way to do so. Right. And to wrap it up in the end, don't forget to put up some mechanical stress, some metabolic stress, stretch, and some fun. Should be fun. So if you need any help with that, you're always free to contact us on the Strength and Skills. Rado is available on Instagram with the Rado_Bossage.
Exactly.
And I am available on Nick_Tibu. If you want to come into contact with us, just message us there, or just go to our website bar-bellcoaching.de/links, and there you see the website. You can just make yourself an appointment with us and just have a little chat with us on a call, and we see we are the ones who can help you. Right. All right. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you on the next episode. Make a big chest and make us proud with that. Have a good one.